Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's June 14th, 2017. Well, okay, just a couple of minor items. London burning, but that's the least of our problems. Andy Hoffman is with us now. Is it the Fed's last rate hike? Email us at kl@kerrylutz.com or just post a comment on the website, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Andy, good morning.
Good morning, Kerry. Look, today is potentially, and we'll talk about my articles of today and yesterday in a second, no one even was thinking about it, an inflectionary point in monetary history, not just for the Federal Reserve, but for the entire world. It's kind of the point where we're talking about the rubber has got to hit the road at some point. I mean, you know, we've been talking all along. You can talk about precious metals, about how, I mean, you can only short naked short so much until you run out of physical to deliver. And when it comes to manipulating markets, for instance, stocks and bonds, there's only so high you can, you know, take dot-com valuations to in a Great Depression era without ramifications. And of course, we've had ramifications, this massive oversupply of everything pretty much in the world. Oil is a perfect example. Economies are falling apart one at a time. You're seeing currencies serially collapse. Look at all the political strife, geopolitical strife, social strife. I mean, God, look at the social fabric of our nation now. It's so divided. And it's because of the wealth disparity that's been created by all these policies and the surging cost of living, and the demographics aren't helping either. It's only exacerbating all these downward trends. So again, at some point, the rubber has to hit the road. And, the reason we've gotten this far is because of technology. We talk about the gold cartel but the reason that the gold cartel has been able to get this far is because the technology they have, as compared to, say, 1980, when they came in and, you know, accused the Hunt brothers of colluding in the market, which they certainly were not doing. But today it's a matter of, they got these amazing algorithms and derivatives and high frequency trading and collusion among, you know, the top central bankers about at what time of day they're going to do what and how they're going to cover their tracks. And they got the media, they own all the media, and they, you know, they've just become psychological warfare experts. You know, so they think that they've beaten this game, that they've won the game. And that's why the Fed has been so confident to, and I laugh, raise rates. They haven't even gotten to 1% yet. But the fact that they would actually raise rates when the economy is falling apart is because of their hubris of believing that they've figured out how to permanently manipulate markets and with this technology. And the fact is, though, that in the real world, the rubber hits the road. In the gold market, there's only so much physical gold, so you can't keep the price down too long. And the oil market, if you're going to see the massive glut on the market, no matter how much you try to prop up the paper price. And so all these things have to hit the road. The rubber has to hit the road. So we're at the point now with monetary policy. Okay, the Fed, I mean, yeah, it's taken them a year and a half, and they've gotten the rates up from zero to, it's like 0.625% now. And after today, it'll be 0.875%. So not even 1%.
Right.
And in the rest of the world, that hasn't changed at all. I mean, you know, the Europeans are at -0.4%. Japan's at -0.1%. The Bank of England, you name it, everywhere else is on average, probably, you know, unless you're talking about these, you know, hyperinflationary countries, on average, the interest rate is less than 1%. And it's caused massive damage to the global economy, to safety, misallocation of capital. And, you know, the only one who's benefited has been the 1% that are in these financial assets, which get the dual whammy of not only the low interest rates that they get and no one else, but they get the rigged markets behind them too. So, but right here in the United States, to show you how much, you know, we're at the point where the rubber's hitting the road, the economy is now in free fall. Okay. I mean, I remember writing a year and a half ago, this was the worst economic time of our lifetime. Those were the good old days. And we're talking about this retail Armageddon, partly secular and partly economic, is real. Exploding delinquencies in student loans, mortgage loans, auto loans, household debt is at a new all-time high. Corporate debt, a new all-time high. Sovereign debt, municipal debt. Look at the state of Illinois about to go bankrupt. The country of Puerto Rico about to go bankrupt, et cetera. So we're in this position. GDP is down to pretty much nothing. And there's no capital investment left in this country. Everything is falling apart. And so the Fed has been still playing this game. Well, we got the stock market high, so we can pretend that we're going to do 3 rate hikes, 2 rate hikes, and maybe one day we'll undo our balance sheet, even though no one else in the world is doing it. And by the way, anytime we do anything like that, it props up the value of the dollar, which makes things worse from a trade perspective. And that's where we stand today. Because right now, you know, I wrote yesterday, my article was called "The Fed's Last Rate Hike." It wasn't a question. It was the Fed's last rate hike. They are not going to. They're doing it today only because they have to, because they boy cried wolf, painted themselves in the corner. They got their record high stock market and they figured they could do it. But after that, it's done. The money markets are already discounting essentially nothing the rest of the year. And frankly, pretty soon they're going to be discounting, you know, the ding dong, the Fed is dead moment when they have to actually lower rates and go back to QE. And frankly, the beginning of that, I think, is today. Because when you look at how silly it is, you look at today's retail sales number that just came out. I mean, minus 0.3%. The CPI was negative also. And I don't care if the real cost of living is high. I'm talking about how the markets interpret it. And a big part of that is oil, which I said is going to collapse. And now it's full out collapsing as it should be. That's going to really take down CPI numbers. And it's going to get the Fed all nervous. And it's going to, and you know, look, we just had a shot across the bow in the stock markets this week with people getting nervous. So I think it's the point where the Fed, you know, remember, you know, they put out their minutes 3 weeks after the meetings. And I've said forever that these things are doctored. They see how the markets are 3 weeks later, and then they say, okay, let's insert something to, you know, account for the way things are. And when they put the minutes out of the last meeting in May, maybe a week ago, they said, we need further evidence that the decline in the economy we've seen is transitory before taking away accommodation. Well, since then, everything's fallen apart, and today's numbers are a gigantic exclamation point. People are going to be going, wait, you're raising interest rates into pretty much a recession, let alone even a depression. Remember, this is theoretically almost the second longest recovery in U.S. history of 147 recoveries. And yet it feels like a recession because it is one. So I think this is the point where even the Fed realizes that they have to say in today's minutes, as they said in Zero Hedge, the dovish hike. I mean, they're going to be wildly dovish today. I wouldn't be surprised if they give the first hints that they're going to be considering the thought of maybe slowing down the process of raising rates, which to me is the equivalent, well, to the markets, of we are done. And you look at, you know, you forget this. I don't even care about the stock market. Sure, the PPT will do their best to try to hold it up. I don't really care. It doesn't matter. The 99% of the world is not invested in the Dow Jones propaganda average. But when you're talking about what I'm looking at here at precious metals, again, what have we been talking about, Kerry, for the last few weeks? The 200-week moving average, right, and the 5.5-year downtrend line. I've said forever.
That's a big
about
one.
What's that?
I said that's a huge one. Huge resistance point.
I've said forever about these things that technical analysis, and it's so funny of all these newsletter writers always giving their technical analysis of the precious metals. Useless, people. U-S-E-L-E-S-S. Completely and utterly useless in any kind of short to intermediate term time frame, because it's all rigged. Stocks, bonds, and of course, precious metals. Okay? But when you talk about the longer term numbers, okay, it's very hard. They can't manipulate the 200-week moving average. I mean, they can try. They can. Obama can have a closed door meeting on April 11, 2013, with the top 10, too big to fail bank CEOs, and then, you know, orchestrate this big collapse in prices the next day. But they can't do that anymore. First of all, there's no more, you know, the presidency. The White House is in disarray. Wall Street is in disarray right now. There's not going to be collusion. Of course, if they try to do that now, we'd have a shortage overnight, because right now all the things that they've done have created the tightest supply demand ever. I mean, we're talking about right now free falling production in gold and silver. The inventories are down to nothing. Demand is as high as it's been, certainly in the East, and pretty soon when prices start moving up again here, they'll be the same way in the West, and we'll have shortages. So, you know, we're at the point right now where something big is going to have to give. And when the Fed admits that in the slightest way, the slightest language change that makes you realize oh, wait, so they were BSing all along. They really are not confident in the economy, and they are considering slowing down. Everyone will race back into precious metals at a time that these long-term trend lines, which have been not fabricated, they have just been the byproduct of all the manipulation, get broken. And again, when I say the 5.5-year down trend line, or in silver, it's 6 years, because silver goes back to the May 2011 paper massacre. And for gold, it goes back to September 2011, when they hit the highs, and you know that very, you know, an hour after the Swiss pegged the franc to the euro, which is wildly bullish for the for gold, that they smashed that down. The 5.5-year downtrend line for gold crosses at 1274, and they desperately tried to push it back. And look at that this morning, up $10. We're back above it again. And gold's 200-week moving average is 1240. So now we're above both for gold. In silver's case, because it was so much more steeper going back a half year, the 5.5-year, or let's call it 6-year downtrend line, was crossed at 1630. And we're at 1720 right now.
Yeah.
And it's 200-week moving average is 1775, which is where we got last week, within a few pennies
before
someone sold $4 billion of notional paper silver on the COMEX, like an hour after the ECB's own wildly dovish statement. So again, you know, we have all these, this confluence of factors coming together. And let's face it, whether you like it or not, the Fed has ruled the market because of their manipulations, and also because of the mindset and perception that they've created, that all that matters is what they say. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter that they're wrong about everything. It doesn't matter that everything they've done has been completely backfired on them. All that matters is that, and oh yeah, the jobs report, right? Oh, if the jobs report has a, even though it's complete BS, if it's a higher than expected headline number, you smash gold, and either way, you buy stocks no matter what happens. But it's getting, but let's face it, the Janet Yellen is the king when it comes to moving markets. And if they say anything hawkish right now with all that's going on, if like today's retail sales number and last week's GDP number and all that stuff and factory orders numbers, people are going to get terrified. They're going to start selling stocks and go, what are these guys, nuts? They're going to raise rates. Have they not seen the plunging new home sales, existing home sales, housing starts, permits, capital expenditures, the delinquencies, the retail sales? You can't raise rates. You've raised rates a freaking, no, what is it, 0.75%, and you had this explosion of delinquencies. Year-on-year loan demand is about to go negative for the first time since 2008 or 2009. If they even try to be hawkish today in any way, if they think they're going to be smart about it, they're going to institute a market drop, a big one. And no one's going to believe it. They're certainly not going to believe it in the gold world. But if they do what I think they're going to do, which is to give the first hints in their language that possibly they may have to slow down, that's going to be the end of the whole 4-year meme that started in 2013, around the time of that Obama meeting with the two big fail bank CEOs and the big gold crash. It's going to end that meme that there's a Fed tightening and a balance sheet reduction coming, just like the Trumpflation meme. Remember that one? Dead.
Oh, God.
You know, remember what the Trumpflation meme was, right? We're going to have a surging dollar, right? Well, look at the dollar now, 96.4, way below where it was at the time of the election. We're going to have surging interest rates. Remember I called the top at 2.5? Mm-hmm. 2.12 this morning, a new low after the election. Surging commodities. Oh, look at this. Oil is crashing, as I said it would. Even the base metals are starting to go down right now, the big bubble there. And of course, falling gold prices, which are on the verge, which are now at the levels, basically. Well, at least gold is the night of the election. So again, just like the Trumpflation meme is dead, the Fed tightening policy meme is about to die. It may die today. I don't know. I can't say what will happen. It's already dead overseas. No, everyone knows the Bank of Japan, the Bank of England, the ECB, they are never turning around. It's only a matter of, at least for the precious metal world, if you're looking to a catalyst of when, if and when the Fed inevitably says we are no longer in this tightening mode. And I think you're going to see the first signs of that today. I really do.
I think you are correct. Well, you know, it's been obvious for so long. They really don't know what they're doing, right? I mean, they just don't know, or they don't care. And the obvious course is that disaster is always right around the corner. It, you know, since the crash, Andy, it's been nine years. They've managed to put off the inevitable that long, but it's obvious that we're getting to the end here.
Yeah. And I mean, everything that they do is about kicking the can. And like I said, you know, it's all about the technology. You can't even, I mean, look, in 2007, we didn't even have Bitcoin yet. It wasn't even invented yet. But, and when you think about the market manipulating technologies, I mean, they were taken by surprise by the whole collapse. That's why they had to do TARP and have Hank Paulson begging Congress for $700 billion, which is laughable because they probably need like 7 trillion.
They went through that.
But they didn't have the ability to manipulate markets back then. So they figured, oh, we got to go through proper channels and ask Congress for money. And, you know, all we really got is the PPT. We don't really know how to manage things the way we do now. Like, you know, this, I mean, even the gold manipulation in 2008 doesn't hold a candle to what you see now, where they literally have the grip on it every second of the day, just like the Dow. I mean, look, the Dow is actually up 8 points today. I mean, yeah, how could the Dow be up today? It's that insane that they just, that the grips that they have. But again, in the process of trying to protect this franchise, this dying franchise, this dying empire, this dying hegemony. I mean, give me a break. The U.S. dollar. Yeah, the dollar will do great if we have a crisis now just because of liquidity. But it'll get destroyed against gold and silver, against pretty much anything of real value, because the rest of the world is sick of it. People don't want it. What they're going to want is going to be cryptocurrency, gold and silver for the people who have money. And for the rest of people, they're going to get cryptocurrency because they are so sick of governments destroying their lives with fiat currency for decades, for centuries, for millennia. And we're talking about 1,000 years of this, of one after the other, of governments and bankers coming in, starting all over afresh. Oh, we're going to get away from England and have a revolution and start over afresh. And what do you know? It takes a few decades and we got our own bank of England. It's so funny that Alexander Hamilton gets all this praise because his dumb show. He's the guy who brought the Bank of England into the United States. He's the guy, okay? And he's the guy sitting on the $10 bill or whatever. So, but the fact is they try it over and over again, and all it does is destroy people. And that's why people are, this time around, the first time, again, it was all this technology that enabled them for the first time to do the first global fiat standard. It was never before able that you can tie in all the currencies together with all these global currency markets and derivatives and all kinds of stuff so that everyone can, quote, benefit from it at the same time. Well, guess what? Everyone is being destroyed by it simultaneously right now. And that's why they're going to fight back this time. First of all, on top of that, you now have 7.5 billion people as opposed to, you know, when I was born, it was half that. Okay. You know, when my grandparents were born, it was half of that. There's a lot of angry people out there fighting for resources. And now you have technologies that are going to enable you to get around it. Like, for instance, cryptocurrency, which is, look, it's in its nascent stages. I mean, you see what's going on, for instance, in Bitcoin now. The scaling debate. In Ethereum now, there's all these people in it. They don't even know why they're in it.
They're just gambling.
Yeah, it's going to take time, but it's going to be a new standard. And the funny thing is that with all this technological change, the whole theme of this call we have just had, Kerry, is technological change is changing the world. And you know what, Kerry? What is the one thing that has not changed in the monetary world in the entire 5,000 years of human existence?
Oh, gold and silver, right?
Exactly. And maybe it's not 5,000. It's probably pretty close. I mean, the Egyptians had it. How long ago was that? 3,000?
It's more than that. But 5,000 that we can trace it. But the belief is it goes back much further than that. You know, you got mines that are way older than 5,000 years. There's a whole debate about the length of civilization and all that. But gold withstands the true test of time. I mean, look, I totally am a supporter. I don't know if it's clear from the webinar, I'm totally a supporter of cryptocurrencies. I just think we're in a speculative mania right now. Like you said, you got so many people who don't even know what a blockchain is, who said, you know, this is the latest gambling mechanism du jour, like in China. So we have to kind of get past this point. And then I believe it has to become. I mean, China is talking about adopting their own cryptocurrency here, right?
I don't think the Chinese companies have any clue what they're talking about. For instance, the other day you saw, you know, Vitalik Buterin. He's the inventor of Ethereum. Brilliant man.
Yeah.
He met with Putin. And so the headlines say Putin meets with him because he's considering Russia's own virtual currency. Right.
Right.
And yeah, sure. And I'm going to myself, people yeah. read that and they go, oh, I got to buy Ethereum. You know, and they don't understand. First of all, I doubt that Putin ever even said that. Right. They just it's the media likes to make these things. But that doesn't even make sense. What are they saying? They're going to get rid of their ruble. Right. I mean, get rid of the ruble.
Freaking news. Yeah. Like get rid of government power, the power to manipulate interest rates and currency units is what government's all about here. Yeah. I mean, to
governments
think.
Governments are not going to create cryptocurrencies. They're going to adapt to cryptocurrencies. And I'm not talking about the decentralized, the centralized ones, you know, because like Ethereum to me and a lot of the other ones are just the equivalent of corporations. You're buying a stock. Yeah, you're buying the stock of Ethereum. It's hot right now, but it could very easily go ice cold, right? And it could be shut down. You could walk in. They could, well, I mean, yes, it does trade independently, but yes, you could shut down Ethereum if the government was pissed off and on because it's centralized, right?
Right.
And the thing, Bitcoin, you can't shut it down. You can, they'll try everything. They'll do all these regulations, you know, and it'll cause a lot of volatility in the price and a lot of fear. And, but the fact is you can't do it. But again, like you're saying, it's exactly true. We're at the stage right now where a lot of what's going on in the crypto sector is speculation. When it was just Bitcoin and maybe even Ethereum, it's okay. But now you have this whole new ICO thing.
That's going to be slammed. I mean, you are selling securities. All right. So you call the security a coin. You know, it's look, my legal background tells me that they're going to slam that right when all the cryptos start heading down because the speculative boom, the mania.
Right. The governments will fight to death.
That's what they're going
to
do.
And by the way, who do you think they're going to get first? Ethereum. They were the original ICO who sold quote, non-securities to the public. And they could easily do that. The thing is, at least Ethereum has a platform, right?
Right.
I mean, I know a lot of people in the Bitcoin space who think that it's not a good one, that the technology is BS and that it's going to be proven
that's not.
But at least they have something that a lot of people do believe in. And there is a lot of money behind it. Most of these other ones are almost the equivalent of just printing money. And it's so much more shady. They're like, hey, we got an idea. Everyone send us Bitcoin or Ethereum to this address and you get these tokens.
Yeah.
They're not really managed by anyone, but that's what you get. We don't even have an idea. It is the equivalent of dot-coms because so many of them don't have a game plan. Some of them are probably just plain bump and dump. We will pretend we have some idea and it'll get pumped. So that space is going to violently crash at some point.
Oh, for sure. Well, look, we go back in history to the South Sea bubble, and that was a time in England's checkered financial history where they said, oh, the South Sea Corporation, you know, they're just going to take over the world. And then what happened was all these other companies opened up, and because they saw all the money people were making off the South Sea Corporation's stock, and these companies became, you know what they were known as? Bubble companies. This is where the origin of the bubble comes in.
Yeah, there are ICOs and dot-coms. In fact, the South Sea bubble, to show you how inept governments are, I believe that came about because, what was it? Not John Law. One of those guys came in
John
and said,
John
I'm going to create a corporation which is going to take all the debt of England and somehow, you know, use great business savvy to pay it off. It was the most insane thing. And it created one of the biggest bubbles in history. And that's exactly where we stand right now with these ICOs. And these ICOs are going to have a major, major damage on the sector when it happens. And what I'm talking about now with Bitcoin, I'm looking at it right now. Now it's down again. It's down to, you know, 25-50 because the scaling debate, it's so funny. You know, my friend Adam Meister is talking about how most people buying these things these days don't even know about the scaling debate. Whereas with me, who's been in this for a long time,
it's all I
think about is will this get resolved well? And right now there was a big shot across the bow this morning because you have the users have created what will be on August 1st, a quote, quote, user activated soft fork, meaning they're trying to get this SegWit technology in because it kind of ensures that you'll have some scaling, maybe a lot scaling, but no one knows how much without breaking the chain in two. But a lot of the miners, for political reasons, say, no, we wanted to do it in a different way. We'd like to do a hard fork where we split the chain in two, and the chain actually could go back into one, but no one knows. But everyone's scared of a hard fork because you could have two, and then that breaks some of the immutability of Bitcoin.
Yeah, so
one of the biggest miner in the world came out today and said, if you try the soft fork, well, we're going to do the hard fork. So now the price is falling again because everyone's scared, and they'll be scared for weeks because no one knows what's going on. And this is a cryptocurrency that's an actual real decentralized currency. It is the king of it. It's like comparing junior mining stocks to physical gold. OK, junior mining stocks are immaterial. They don't even matter in the world compared to gold. All these ICOs, immaterial compared to Bitcoin, including Ethereum. If Bitcoin has problems, they all have problems because Bitcoin is the core. So the point is, people don't even realize that there's all these different dynamics going on. And while you're having all this craziness in the monetary world, yes, there are people out there buying cryptocurrencies purely on speculation. There are people like me. I'm not buying now. I own it. I bought it way back when. If I didn't right. own it way back when, I wouldn't buy it now because I'd be terrified of what's going on with the scaling debate. As it is, I'm in at a very, very good price. So I'm just going to sit here and wait it out. And I'm pretty sure that eventually it'll work out. But, you know, it's going to be hard to find new buyers in this world with all this going on. And then, of course, you've had these ICOs that have been pumped up to dot-com valuations. And it's not a coincidence, by the way, that, you know, I put out that audio blog a few weeks ago, dot-com valuations in a great depression era. It's not a coincidence that it's not just like, oh, Bitcoin came out of nowhere. The space has had a dot-com like move at the same time that stocks have, that bonds have, where all-time record high bond valuations with all the finances of the world falling apart. Fine art. I mean, no one could sell a car, but Ferraris are going for record prices and stuff like this. I mean, there's bubbles everywhere. And all along, the one asset I could think of in the entire world that is decidedly not, and I'm not talking about like, you know, like oil prices and wheat prices, which are just hopelessly overvalued. I mean, there's no one who could possibly be speculating on oil or wheat right now because it's ridiculous. The gluts are so there. Right. In the case of wheat, they don't have a wheat PPT that's trying to prop up prices. But I'm talking about in, you know, the major asset classes. The only thing that is so not in a bubble is gold and silver. Platinum. I wrote about platinum yesterday.
Oh, yeah. You know? Platinum. And, you know, I was talking with Andy Schechtman, and the four or five anomalies in the precious metals market right now taking place. We went down this list that bullion coins versus numismatics, there's no difference in the premium. You know, you're getting numismatics for the same price as a bullion coin. Then we look at the silver to gold ratio. It's 75. And we know whenever it gets over 70, something happens.
Yeah, I wrote an article 2 weeks ago, silver to gold ratio as undervalued as any time in history. And I mean it.
And then platinum has been trading for more than gold for months now. I mean, almost a year, maybe over a year. We keep our monthly review that I do with Mickey Fulp, and I've got all those numbers there, but call it a year. And then you've got platinum approaching parity with palladium. And then, and the other thing Andy mentioned was that the premiums on junk silver, pre-1965 silver American coins, have like evaporated. So you've got five anomalies in the precious metals markets. And I know you could argue whether palladium's precious metals, like called palladium, platinum, the noble metals, but man, five of these anomalies at once, something big is bound to happen here because this just doesn't happen.
Exactly. You talk about in the markets, we have record low volatility, right?
Yeah.
Forget that we have record low interest rates when everyone from corporations to sovereigns are bankrupt. To have record low interest rates shows you that in alone, let alone the dot-com valuations when the economy's falling apart. And by the way, corporate earnings are falling apart. But the worst one, the craziest one of all is the record low volatility, like the VIX the other day hitting an all-time low with all this going on. That's right. Because of all the manipulation that's going on. And in precious metals, look, Miles Franklin has stayed above board this year because we're savvy. You know, we find ways to help clients that aren't just typical, like some of our competitors that are just like, yeah, we have a sale on Silver Eagles. We're going to sell below cost just to, you know, that's our, that just makes them go more bankrupt. Like the Tolvings.
Yeah, that's insanity.
And the Northwest Territorial Mints out there. Now we've stayed above board, but our core market has been decimated because if volatility in the regular markets have been dead, interest, sentiment in precious metals in the West has been deader than I've seen ever. And look where prices are. They've been going up. That just shows you how tight the market is, because there isn't even a comparison. Forget the 6 years I've been in Miles Franklin. In the 15 years I've been in precious metals, I've never seen sentiment this low. And it's not even anymore the I hate precious metals, because everyone who's lost money is out. You know, they're not even in. It's a matter of, I don't care. They're just precious metal, who cares? Stocks are up. Yeah. Even if I don't own stocks, if I was going to own something, I would. Oh, look at this. Cryptocurrencies are up. I definitely want to own those. I'm happy with my bonds because they always go up. My real estate has, not all real estate's gone up, but it's done fine. Care of the Fed's easy money policies. So no one cares. And I wrote yesterday. Yeah, Monday, I wrote platinum. It was a revisitation. I wrote platinum, the forgotten precious metal, because I actually timed the bottom of platinum almost to the week in early January of last year. And I said back then, my God, the gold to platinum ratio doesn't mean it has to go down to its all-time low, but it's at an all-time high. And since then, it's gone up even more. I mean, we're basically at the all-time high now, where it's trading at like a 20+% discount.
25% discount.
Yeah.
It's trading.
Yeah. And that's at the same time, you've actually had a short squeeze, believe it or not, in palladium. Palladium and platinum are twins. I mean, they are mined together. They're extremely scarce. They come only from South Africa, which is falling apart. They're already in deep decline. And now South Africa's deep decline could make it even worse. The problem is that the good thing for platinum is, unlike palladium, it also has this quasi-monetary value. That's why it's always moved with gold and silver at like a 90% correlation, whereas palladium is purely industrial. And yet it's palladium that's had the short squeeze. Now, if you could say, I'm trying to think of a formulation. Well, you have record auto inventories right now, which of course are going to collapse now because the auto industry is dying. I mean, sales are plummeting, inventories are too high, so that's certainly going to reduce the demand for palladium. And if you're going to say, well, the car manufacturers were using palladium instead of platinum because it's cheaper, well, guess what? Palladium is almost the price of platinum now. Palladium is not a good investment position, in my opinion. Whereas platinum, I mean, to trade at the same price where you have this potential shortage coming because of monetary value, I think that's insane. And yes, the junk silver's got all kinds of things going on but the biggest thing is you always have an increase in junk silver demand when people are worried about crisis. And so right now, because of this manipulation of markets, no one has been less worried about crisis than any time I can remember, at a time where they should be. I mean, we've had junk silver at spot plus $7 or $8 as recently as a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, when people are worried about crisis, they'll do it and it'll become, you know, semi-numismatic because there's not that much of it out there. And, you know, as for just demand in general, it's been really weak because people don't think there's a crisis. And I think that the odds of a crisis have never been higher in our lifetime.
Agreed.
I mean, really, never.
Agreed. Well, we'll leave it at that. Andy, just check out Andy's work, Miles Franklin, and the site is milesfranklin.com. You can sign up anytime you want, get his daily newsletter and frequent audio blogs. Check us out, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for our newsletter and email any questions, comments, kl@carrylutz.com. Andy, we will talk to you next week.
Yeah, post-Fed meeting. Oh, I cannot wait for that one.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.